Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fisherman Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Morning, joining us out at Grace Chapel, out at Grace Ranch out in West Texas. Let us praise and worship the Lord. Cheer. Lord Jesus, we come before you today and we humble ourselves before you, Lord, and we ask that you give us the words that you would want us to hear, Lord, that you give us the understanding and that you strengthen us, Lord, so that we might go forth and do what you have for us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. heart. He will give you the desires of your heart. So praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the Lamb of God. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to the King. Light yourselves in the Lord. Light yourselves in the Lord. He will give you the desires of your heart.
Lord. Praise you, Lord. Let's turn over to 2 Timothy 4, starting at verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Repute, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. Be instant in season and out of season. How many times I have been somewhere and felt that I need to show the love of Jesus Christ and share the word of Jesus Christ with somebody else. And I've failed. For whatever reason, I turned away. Thankfully, I don't listen to those things anymore. Most of the time, I hope. I say that because one of the things that was brought up during the conference was to listen. And there are still times when my mouth does not allow my ears to work. Because if your mouth is moving, your ears are not hearing. I'm glad to say that in some things, I believe I have progressed. But I also know there's areas that I need to continually improve on. Such with all of us. None of us are perfect. None of us will become perfect until hopefully the day we stand before the Lord and He says, enter in, good and faithful servant. Until that time, we must preach the word and be instant, in season and out of season. We need to not worry about what others will think or what the world will think. When somebody does something that is wrong or says something that is wrong, we need to rebuke that person. Because they'll never find the truth unless we give it to them, that we reinforce it, that we knock down those stumbling blocks or point those stumbling blocks out to them that will keep them from being able to move forward and to improve and to grow and to become the Lord's. Many times there have been lots of people that have come around for a season and disappeared. Because when we preach the truth to somebody, we bring it, all their deeds, out into the light. Scripture tells us men don't like all their deeds out in the light. They like darkness better. So they'll turn away from the truth because it doesn't make them feel good. And they'll be the ones that will run around and jump from this church to that church or to this person to that person. And we've seen it in this ministry where somebody asks a question of one minister and turns around and goes to another one because they didn't like the answer. Where they fall into the trap is when they find that one person that tells them what they want to hear, not what they need to hear. We need to hold fast. We need to be strong. We need to listen. And we need to sit there and tell them the truth. Anything other than the truth is a lie. And then that makes us responsible for leading them to hell. But if we tell them the truth, no matter how we feel about it, no matter how it makes them feel, we give them the truth, and then it's their choice. It's their decision. And yeah, there's going to be some that are going to run around like it says here, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth. And they shall be turned into fables. It's a shame. But as long as we've done our job and given them the truth, then it's on them. It's not on us. When we go stand before Jesus, we won't see that person over there and get asked, why didn't you tell him? So many times, and you can go down and read the end of this because it's Paul saying that he is done and ready to be offered up, that he's fought the good fight and has finished his course and kept the faith. So many times, I truly wonder if I will be able to say those words when that day comes. None of us likes correction. None of us likes our faults pointed out. But the only way that we can grow is if they are pointed out to us. It's the only way we can learn. Sometimes I think that the Lord will have to keep me around on this earth for another 100 years for me to turn around and be able to say, I have kept the faith. I pray that the Lord keeps each and every one of us around as long as it takes for us to deliver his word to those he would have be brought before us, to bring before us.
and for him to keep us around long enough so that we can say that we have kept the faith, that we have fought the good fight, and that we may all end up in heaven. And him saying to us, enter in, good and faithful servant. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a cheer, folks. Praise God. You know, I didn't really hear much of the services earlier in the day, but one of the points it seems to me that was being brought up by folks was this idea of working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And Bob kind of touched on it in a sense in 2 Timothy. When, you know, being instant, in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. And it was interesting. I wanted to share something with you. I'm going to start over here in Hebrews 10, verse 38. So right at the end of Hebrews. And as you're going over there and finding that spot, one of the things that came out of the convention and that you've heard people repeating here is standing in the faith of Christ, not your own faith. Standing in God's love, not your love. Standing in God's mercy, not your mercy. And all of these different things. And we're going to go over to Hebrews 4, where it talks about, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. But I wanted to deal with 10:38 and 39 here. It says, and chapter 10 is the chapter that's all about the examples of faith that we have. And he says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now, if we just skip down into the next chapter a bit, I want to read verse 6, where it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I wanted to hit on that six, and I wanted to hit on this word impossible, because as I was out today, I was thinking about this word impossible, because this is where we falter a lot, and where we struggle, and where we draw back. It's because we look at ourselves and what we can do in situations. We feel undeserving, which is basically to call the blood of Jesus Christ insufficient and to say that God's word is a lie. In other words, we don't believe it. Right? Isn't that what it is when we feel like somehow we're not, that we're too bad of sinners or we're not worthy to walk in these things? What we're calling is God a liar. We're saying, God, you're a liar. Your blood is sufficient for others, but it's not sufficient for me. When we get there and we're with a person and we see that person needs help, but we ourselves feel like we are not really, what am I going to say? I'm not really, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to help this person. I don't know all of these things. Well, wait a second. So you draw back, why? In unbelief in whom? The Lord. See, whose words, whose ministry, whose things are you to be sharing? Your own? No, so when you hear it, and I used to hear it with my wife a lot, she used to say, I just don't know what to say. Well, first of all, praise God. The people don't need what you've got to say. They need what Christ would have you say in that situation. And so the drawing back is the thing that leads unto perdition. And what we do when we draw back is we always justify ourselves. Well, I really probably got to be getting back to the ranch. Yeah, I don't really have time right now. I really, I don't know if the Lord's really showing me to minister unto this person. We have all of these different excuses and justifications we use that are satisfactory to us from not pressing forward toward that mark. And so when you come over here and we read in Hebrews 4 for a moment, I want you to know as we read Hebrews 4, the Jews, or I should say the Israelites who entered into the promised land were the children of the Israelites who God swore in his wrath that they would not enter into his rest. So in other words, they didn't have very good parentage, did they? Their parents did not show them the way. Their parents showed them the way not to go. And it says, let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now, why was it that it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it? See, there's hearing, and there's hearing. Many people heard Jesus preach, right? But not everybody believed what Jesus preached. But when you believed what Jesus preached, what was imparted unto you as you believed was the faith of Christ, which mixed with that word that you have chosen to believe. And what it did, what it does is it changes you. See, because what you believe is what motivates what you do. We sang that song, Lord, your word's a lamp unto my feet, right? So what happens is that lamp, that word of God is now what, because you believe it, you order your life by. It's contrary to what you ordered your life by before. It's contrary to it. Robin and I and Davey were talking about that earlier today, how so many things Davey has said to us over the years were, when I say contrary, I mean, to me, some of the things he was saying to me to do seemed like things that were horrid, terrible, absolutely wrong, impossible to do such a thing and it be of God. I mean, just the idea that some of the things he said to me to do were of God was just, to me, before I came to know the Lord, would have been wickedness incarnate. Now, that sounds awful, doesn't it, folks? Sounds like, what in the hell is the matter with you? Now you kind of understand where my family was coming from. What in the hell is the matter with you? But the fact of the matter is, when I stepped out and did it, I found that he was right. That it actually was of God. And it worked in manners that were blessings to the people, not cursings. And I had to learn a new way of living. I had to choose to agree with a new way of living. See, and this is what was happening with the children of Israel out here. They were at a place where they had to choose, which way do we go? God had just delivered them from Egypt, and the promise had been given to Abraham hundreds of years before that they would receive the promised land. This was something they were aware of even before Moses spoke it to them. This was something they were aware of. Now God is coming in fulfillment of his promise. He comes with great power manifested unto them in delivering them out of Egypt. But now when they have to stand, I mean, think of it. They didn't have to stand in Egypt. Moses had to stand. When they then had to stand and do like Moses did in going and taking the promised land, they drew back. We can't do that. The people there are great. Their cities are walled. We have no chance. Well, wait a second. Let me think of this for a moment. When Moses went into Egypt, he went into Egypt as how many men? Did he have an army? Did he come with an army? Did he come with anybody? He didn't come with anybody.
Aaron.
Amen. Aaron came with him. So he had one person. And he had to stand against the mightiest ruler and all of his armies on the entire face of the earth. One man. And he stood and did as God said, and God delivered them. Now, an whole army of men called the children of Israel, 600,000 adult men, are going to take one much smaller country. Much smaller country, a whole army, and that they cannot believe God for. He had shown it to them, but they could not believe it. And the point I wanted to get here about believing it is the part that you don't realize, many people don't realize, is that believing is just a choice. That's why we say all you have to do is change your mind. See, when you're too busy justifying yourself around that which you're told to do, it can't be done, that's impossible, this, that, and the other thing. Well, you know what? It's not going to happen. You're going to be a self-fulfilling prophecy, just like the children of Israel were who died in the desert. But when you choose rather to do something extraordinarily radical and believe God, without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come unto him must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See, when you diligently seek him and you get the answer, what do you do with it? You obey it. You obey the answer you get. Right? If you don't obey the answer you get, then why is anything going to change? Why would you ever expect anything to change? You have to obey the answer you get. So he said, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They never chose to believe it. That's what it means. They never chose to believe it. And because of that, the faith of God was never implanted in them. If they had chosen to believe it, it would have been implanted in them. And if they had continued to choose to believe it, they would have gone for it and done it. Now let's look. It says, if you believe on me, the works that I have done, ye will do also. Yea, far greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto the Father. Right? We know what those are. Heal the sick, cast out devils. Now when we walk out here, do we see people who need to be healed? Do we see people who need to have devils cast down? Do we see people who need all the things that God freely provides? We do. Do we draw back in standing in those things in ministering? The truth of the matter is, yes, far more frequently than not. In fact, the times that we don't draw back are the rare times. They're the rare times. So then why then would we think we'd be saved? Why then? I mean, we say we believe, but as James said, faith without works is vain. I will show you my faith by my works, said James. So you come to that place, you realize, wait a second, I have failed. And in the past, what we didn't realize is that so much of our failing was because we were so busy trying to be righteous, do different works, do different things, try anything to try to be righteous, try anything to make our faith like Jesus's faith, to make our love like Jesus's love, to do all of these things. And we learned that that's never going to happen. Our faith's never going to be like Jesus' faith. Our love's never going to be like Jesus' love. But that's why when it talks about here entering into his rest, see, when you've entered into his rest, you're no longer walking in your love. You're no longer walking in your faith. You're no longer walking in your works. You're no longer walking in these things. And when you're no longer walking in those things, you can walk in his things. And when you walk in his things, people's lives are changed. They are changed because Jesus has touched them. He has touched them. So I want to skip down. And he says, going into verse 10, for he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his. See, this is the part we have to do. We have to cease from our own works and rather trust God and in his ability and in his works. We have nothing to offer folks. We have nothing to offer them personally. But Jesus says, offer them me. Offer them me. Just offer them me. And so it goes on. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Well, what happens is, it's like, you know, Davey was talking to me about it, because one of the things is in dealing with children is one of the things we were chatting about this morning. And I remember dealing with Cheryl when she was a little girl. And practicing the things Davey shared with me on Cheryl in the house when she was a little girl, and they worked. I was amazed. Practicing them on my own children has sometimes been more difficult for me. I've struggled in it. And as because Davey said, "Well, have you been doing those things?" I said, "Well, the truth be told, I'm a mixed bag. Sometimes I have, and sometimes I haven't." And we were talking about, my sister and I were talking about how our upbringing was and how certain of the things that he said were just so contrary to our upbringing that it's a real struggle for us to overcome. You know what that is? An excuse. A justification for not just believing. If I actually believed that which he said and have seen evidence that it is true, I would cast off the lie that I stand in. Right? But that's a struggle. And it feels like I can't do it sometimes. And the fact of the matter is, that's the lie, that I can't do it. That is the lie I have to labor against. That is the lie I have to put off. I heard Brad say this morning, he was talking about how, you know, he would see a thing and he would know it was right and everything like that, but then he couldn't figure out how it would work, right? So he would be, in the past, Brad would then be restrained in going forward in it because he couldn't understand how that would work, and therefore he couldn't believe it. He couldn't go out in it. Now, with Brad, and the turn that you saw in him and his preaching this morning, was he was realizing, I don't have to understand how it's going to work. All I have to do is trust God that it will as he said it will. All I have to do is trust him for it. And so our battle there is to put off the unbelief, to put off that carnal mind that casts all the doubt and all the different things. See, over where Timothy, he's writing to Timothy, he was talking about they will heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. Why? Because they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but they will heap unto themselves teachers, and I think the way he was talking about, that will basically fulfill their lusts, that will minister to their lusts and tell them what they want to hear. See, and that's what we do. When we don't want to believe a thing and we want to hang on to something else, then we want to find somebody who will join with us in the fact that that's good. Has that not been an issue here in the camp? Has that not been an issue? I mean, if you just hung out in the camp kitchen over the last several years, has that ever happened where, like, Davey will come in and say something and then people hang out in the camp kitchen and all talk about how wrong that is? And how he doesn't understand and all these other different types of things. Anybody do that? Has that ever happened here?
Nah, never.
Yeah. But you see what I'm saying? See, that's not enduring sound doctrine. That's not receiving the engrafted word with meekness. That's thinking too much of ourselves and trying to get it to join with our carnal minds, which are the enemies of God. We have to fight against that. See, what happens is the battle takes place here, right in your mind. It's not a battle you fight with your fists. It's not a battle you can run. It's not a race you can run with your legs. It's a battle you fight right here within your mind. It's right here within your mind. You take those thoughts captive. You cast them down. You get shed of them, and you choose to believe God. Period. And when you do that, and he says that, and that's that diligently seeking him, that's that I want you. I don't want this crap. I want you. You fight off all the crap that comes against you, put it down, you cast it off, and you choose with your mind to agree with what he says. Period. You choose to agree. And that's what the children of Israel did who went in with Joshua. They chose to agree with Joshua. They did some pretty crazy things in showing that they agreed with Joshua. They went in and they stood in the water with the Ark of the Covenant and believed that the waters of the river were going to stand up. And they stood, and you know what happened? They stood up. Brad, do you know how they stood up? No, me neither. It doesn't matter. They stood up and they crossed on dry land. They got over there and he said, you know what? I know circumcision didn't work out too well for your parents over there, but it's time for you to be circumcised. Corey, I don't know if you're circumcised. Don't have to answer that question. Might be too much information. But the idea of having to get circumcised as a grown man is not exactly like, I mean, come on, please, ouch! I don't want to do that. Do I really have to? Is this how I'm going to win the battle? They're going to come and fall on me when I'm hurt. Right? Snip the tip. That's what they did. They did. And you know what it was? It was a rolling off of the reproach of Egypt. They decided, you know what? What our parents walked in, what we had to watch for those 40 years out there, we're not walking in anymore. We are not going to agree with that old man. We're going forward, and what you're saying to us, Joshua, we're going to win. See, we sing that song, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. And what people do is, see, when you say yes, Lord, believing, your life is changed. When you say yes, Lord, hoping to believe, nothing happens. Because nobody can believe for you. You have to believe for yourself. You have to choose. I don't care about the testimony of the last decade. I don't care about the testimony of the last year. I don't care about the testimony of this morning. I don't care about that. I am choosing to believe the Word of God now. Amen. And you just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I will. And you go forward in it. So they said, yes, Lord. And then they walked around a city that had high walls that scared their parents for 6 days. And on the seventh day, they walked around it, I think, seven times. And they did the whole thing in silence. Can you imagine? I mean, I can imagine maybe for about 5 minutes walking around and being silent. But, I mean, then you look at somebody and somebody looks at you and you want to laugh. Or somebody farts and you want to go, and you want to do all this stuff. They did it in silence. You know why? Because they feared. They did not want to fall after the same example as their parents did. They had seen what had happened. They had seen, so they had determined. They had set their mind like flint. They were going to do exactly what Joshua said, no matter what. No matter what. No matter what anybody thought. And if somebody didn't, that person's getting out. Because I am not going to fall after the example of those others that died in the desert in unbelief. And so they determined, and they went around not one day, not 2 days, but 7 days. And when they shouted, the walls came down, the walls that nobody could break. How did they come down? Brad, do you know? Me neither. I don't know, Brad. They came down, and they ran up, and everybody died except for those who were of faith. A harlot, in other words, a prostitute, and her family who chose to believe with her. And put the sign of their faith, which was the red, the scarlet rope or ribbon, out their window. And they were saved. Everybody else died.
The color of the blood.
The color of the blood. Amen. So it comes over here and it says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. See, when you turn to the Word shows you where you are coming from, and you may not like to find out where you are coming from. How many times has Brother Davey or another minister shared something with you about where you're coming from on a thing, and you're thinking, that's not where I'm coming from? I don't like what you're telling me as to where I'm coming from. I much prefer the way in which I thought I was coming from. I was coming from love. I love him, so I did this. I love my children, so I do this. I love... You don't understand. No. You're the one who doesn't understand. See, because our hearts are evil. And we don't like to understand that. We like to think our hearts are better than that. So when somebody tells us the truth, we can find a whole host of people who will say that that's not the truth. Why do you think the great majority of people are going to hell? Because they don't like the truth. Jesus is the truth. But the other thing, and I want you to see in this sword, the Lord, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, there's a hope. See, the dividing asunder of the soul from the spirit was what happened with Adam. And which happens with each man that's born into this world. The spirit is separated from the soul. But the other part's also what happens at baptism. The marrow from the bone. See, it's in the marrow that the blood comes. See, and we change our blood. We are adopted into the family of God. We take on His blood. And that's that operation of God that the guys were reading about but kind of skipped over that happens at water baptism. And it's an operation that God does that saves us from ourselves. and gives us a new opportunity to go forward in that new way of living he has. So he goes on, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in this sight, but all things are naked and opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. You know, we may be expert at hiding things from one another. We may get away with a whole bunch of stuff that people don't know what we're doing and don't realize that it never call us to account on. But there's nothing that's hid from him. And when you realize that, now you can stop the game. You can stop playing the games and all the different things in which we justify ourselves. We can stop hiding and we can come before him and say, God, I need help. I need help. It's an amazing thing. You know, when he said to his disciples after the rich young ruler came and he said, you know, not many, it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And his disciples said, who then can be saved? And Jesus' answer is the answer we all need to believe. With man, this is impossible. In other words, I don't care how hard you try or what you do. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, from the moment you are born to the day that you die that you can do by which you are saved. There's nothing. Salvation belongs to our God, as the song is. He is the one that saves us, not we ourselves. So he goes on and he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. That's one, we made a profession, we believe God, right? We come out. We get baptized. This is what happened to the children of Israel. But then when they had to hold fast and go forward and take the promised land, they faltered. And the fact that they had done the first two, put the blood over the doorpost and lintels of their home places, and then passed through the Red Sea with Moses, couldn't save them. We have to hold fast that profession. As you received Christ Jesus, so walk ye in him. When you received him, you knew you were a sinner. Right? I mean, Margie, you were like sitting here, you came out here to Grace Ranch, and you were like, but Cheryl and Davey and Ann, I'm perfect. Right? Isn't that what you came out here? You came out here declaring your perfection and how you didn't need any help and everything was just going great and stuff like that. It's going so well. I think I'm going to take a tour, detour, and go out and live in the middle of the desert, the middle of nowhere for a year. That's because you were just perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Ed Corey, your husband there, was awesome, man. Right? He was awesome. Now, the fact of the matter is you realize you're screwed up. Now you start getting a little religion and now you're not as, you don't think you're as screwed up as you were. Well, that's a lie. You're no less screwed up today than you were then. The only difference between you then and now is Jesus. That's the difference. So you can trust him. You can trust him for the next chapter and the chapter after that. So you can hold fast that profession. And those of us who are ministers also know that profession is a calling. And as you go forward, shoot, Paul felt, I mean, you feel completely inadequate. I mean, I just feel like the worst example of my particular calling of anybody that's ever had such a calling. Well, that's just a wah-wah pity party. Oh, poor, pitiful me. Aren't you sorry and terrible and therefore justified in not doing that which I called you to do? No, it didn't justify me at all. It had nothing to do with me being good or righteous or having any capability whatsoever to begin with. It had nothing to do with any of that. As Paul said, you know, he was the least, you know, he was the one, he had persecuted the church, but by the grace of God, he is what he is. And he went forth and labored more abundantly than all, but not himself, but rather Christ in him. Because he chose to believe and cleave unto that belief with all he had. So, for we have not an high priest that cannot be tempted with the feeling of our infirmities. In other words, he knows what you go through in every single way. There is nothing that you go through that he doesn't have experience with. Jesus, the Son of God, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. In that way, we can't relate to him because we are tempted and sin in our temptation. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. See, that's the part. See, because we fall in our temptation, we then find ourselves unworthy and declare ourselves incapable of doing whatever it is he'd have us do right now. wrong. We're to come boldly before the throne of grace. Grace covers sin. We come boldly because he has been tempted. And he does not hold our weakness against us. That's why he does it for us, so we can come boldly. We can come as one who belongs. We can come as a child. Corey, you can come as a child who the Father has received and let sit at his table and partake of every good thing he has. Have you ever had such a father? Right. Don't let the testimony of your other fathers be what you put on God. Believe him. He accepts you. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. It's funny. Phil was reading, I think, Romans 12, and it says, verse 1, it talks about our reasonable service. But if you actually read the beginning of that verse, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. By the mercies of God. See, our deservedness has nothing to do with it. Has nothing to do with it. I can tell you, every single one of us are completely undeserving of the grace that God has extended unto us. Every single one of us are. So just leave any conscience of your undeservedness as a hindrance to God in any way here today. Don't take it with you. Leave it. Leave it. Because that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. He rolls it, he takes it away. Amen.
Praise the Lord. I said to myself, self, if the Lord wants me to say something, Steve will give me at least 5 minutes. How surprised I was. Amen. Colossians 2:6-12. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. In John, chapter 1, John the Baptist says, when he sees Jesus, behold the Lamb of God, who taketh away the sins of the world. Now see, how I received Jesus might be a little different than some other people, but I realized when I received Jesus that I was a sinner. And there was absolutely no hope for me whatsoever unless God intervened. There was no way I could live or be saved unless God himself did something. And he did. And I believed him. Because he told me so. Now, John says, behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. And that takes me to Romans chapter 5, where Paul speaks of, as by the sin or transgression of one man, did sin come unto all flesh, and I'm paraphrasing, so, by the obedience of one, it's taken from many. But I want to go back to what John said. He said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sins of the whole world. Not the Jews, not the righteous, the whole world. See, sin can only exist in unbelief. I want you to hear this. Sin can only exist in unbelief. Because Jesus was the scapegoat that was offered outside the gate. See, the lambs and the bullocks and all that were offered in the altar were for the children of Israel. The scapegoat was for all the others. And Jesus was offered up outside the gate. And by that, he took away the sins of the world. So you only walk in sin if you disbelieve God. Imagine if there was no sin. And that's what happens when you walk in faith. So when I read, as ye therefore receive Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. When I read that, I received Christ knowing I was a sinner, knowing I didn't have a chance, but knowing that he took it all away. And therefore, by putting my faith in him and standing in that grace and walking in that mercy, I can be without sin. The body will die. The firstborn dies. The secondborn lives. The firstborn does not get the inheritance. It's the secondborn. Go all through Scripture and show you example after example after example. Ishmael and Isaac, perfect examples. Ishmael was born in sin and out of sin. Isaac was born out of the promise. Richard Utzler was born out of sin. But Richard or Davy, the man of God, was born out of promise. And it's that man who walks without sin, and he will live. And by this, by believing this, I can be rooted and built up in him and established in the faith. As I've been taught, and if you've listened to me for the last 40 years, this is what I preach, this is what I teach, this is what I stand in, and if ye believe it, ye shall be saved. You gotta believe it. It's by faith we please God. And it's not caring about feelings of how people feel about us, but rather how God looks at us and our faithfulness back to him. That's why I can say and do things that seem contrary to the world, and yet they be of God. As I care not whether you like me or not. If you're of God, you'll love me. And if you're not, you won't. And if you're not of God, what's it to me whether you love me or not? It is, to me, nothing but to love as God loves all that maybe some may hear. But how can they hear if they're never told the truth? You have the truth. those of you that are part of this ministry, those of you that have been listening to this ministry, have read our teachings, and some of you that are listening for the first time have heard the truth in your own churches. If you've heard the truth, go speak it. Don't hide it. Jesus said, don't hide your light under the bushel. That bushel is pride. Because pride makes it all about you, and you don't want to look dumb or stupid or wrong. So you hide the truth. Give it to the pride. You'll be able to tell the truth. Amen? I'm done.
Praise the Lord. Dear Lord, we just thank you for this time that we've had together today, Lord. And we thank you for the words that have been delivered to us. And we thank you most of all, Lord, for strengthening us and guiding us and being with us, Lord, as we go out into the world. And we just thank you and we love you, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name, pray. Amen.